1190 AM, NBC News, and the best in specialty programming.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or Clear Channel Communications.
You asked for golf, you got golf. It's time for the Golfer's Home with Stephen Greben. For the next 2 hours, you'll get the best in local, national, and international golf. Interviews from all the tours, the latest inside news, plus a weekly local course review, help on improving your golf game, and our weekly trivia contest, and so much more. So step up to the tee and get ready to keep it in the short grass. It's the Golfer's Home. Here's your host, Stephen Greben.
Hi, good Sunday morning. It's 8:07 Dallas time. This is the Golfer's Home with Stephen Greben. I'm Tim Cusick, Director of Golf Instruction at the Four Seasons Resort and Club Dallas. Back in Dallas after spending last weekend in Augusta, Georgia for the Masters. Great, obviously a fantastic week every time the Masters is played. But Sunday did not disappoint. It looked like in the middle of Sunday's round that you didn't know which way it was going to go. And then all of a sudden, like it always does every single year, the Masters kicks in on the back nine. And the course doesn't disappoint and the play doesn't disappoint. You had a number of guys lurking, hanging, juggling back and forth on the leaderboard. And then all of a sudden, the cream rises to the top. And how 18 played out in regulation was just as good a golf as there's ever been played. With with Adam Scott hitting the shot he needs to hit, putting it in the position where you need to put it to make the putt. Pin high, almost pin high, just to the right of the pin, 20, 25 feet, and then buries the putt, a putt that he has to make, putts that he had made earlier in the day that were shorter, but he makes the putt, goes into one of the greatest celebrations of all time. You think he's probably got it locked, and then the Iceman back in the fairway, the duck, Angel Cabrera, stoning it. Hitting it in there in the pouring rain with the wind. And, you know, they go to the playoff. And the first hole, Cabrera almost makes it again. And you go down to number 10. And one of the classiest moves that I've maybe have seen in golf in a long time, if not ever. After Cabrera hits his shot onto the green, hits it 15, 18 feet from the hole. Adam Scott hits it in there inside of him. Cabrera looks back at him, gives him the thumbs up, and it's just cool watching that. And as everyone knows, the rest is history with the putt that Adam Scott makes, and a great victory for Adam Scott, for golf, for Australia, for the PGA Tour, and for the rest of 2013 as we continue to move forward. So we've got lots of golf going on this week. The tour moves to a very sleepy little area just a few hours away from Augusta, Hilton Head, South Carolina, for the RBC Heritage Tournament. And after three rounds, you have Charlie Hoffman with the lead at 11 under. You've got Webb Simpson sitting in second place at 9 under. You have Kevin Streelman, who won a couple weeks ago, at 8 under. A couple guys tied at 4th, one of them being a former U.S. Open winner, Graham McDowell. And then you've got seven guys, sitting at 6 under, so 5 shots back. Amongst those guys, Bill Haas, one of the hottest players on tour, 5 top 10s so far this year, tied with Brent Snedeker and Keegan Bradley for the most top 10 so far this year. You've got Billy Horschel, who seems to play good every single week. Love to see him close it out at some point because he looks like he is one of the bright futures of the PGA Tour. You got the young Japanese player Ryo Ishikawa, who is sitting at 6 under. So you've got a collection of players, 13 of them in all, within 5 shots of the lead. And the weather, although somewhat warm in Hilton Head this afternoon, will be blustery. Winds out of the north, which we know what winds out of the north feel like over the last couple days, at up to 20 miles an hour. One of the stories, though, that we'll get into just a little bit later is Hilton Head has some of the smallest greens on the PGA Tour, and we're going to be joined right now by my co-host, Stephen Gribben. Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, Timmy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Just catching up, gave a little recap on the leaderboard for the PGA Tour and catching up on what Charlie Hoffman has done on the greens.
You know, it's amazing to me how poorly someone can hit a golf ball and how much putting and chipping can make a difference in a round of golf. If you ever needed something to show to a prospective kid or student or someone who wants to be good about the importance of getting your ass off the driving range and getting it onto the putting green or getting it into the chipping area, it was Charlie Hoffman yesterday. He hit four of 14 fairways, I think. He hit 7 out of 18 greens, but he had 21 putts. 21. Now, understand, the PGA Tour is 18 putts. And it's happened a bunch, actually. It's happened at least a half a dozen times, I think, that somebody has gone through a round and made 18 putts. But if there was ever a video textbook version of what to show a student, Timmy, you saw it yesterday from Charlie Hoffman.
Well, like I tell my students all the time, especially during putting clinics, is that every time you take one less putts in a round, you shoot a lower score. And Hilton Head has the smallest greens on tour, very, very small, almost teacup-sized greens. And currently David Frost holds the record with 92 putts. Fewest number taken in a PGA Tour event for four rounds at Hilton Head. And, I mean, he's going to have another putting round even better than he had yesterday to break that record. But
well, it was interesting, Timmy, you know, that I was watching the Golf Channel this morning waiting to get on air, and I apologize to the listeners for what happened this morning. But, you know, it was really interesting to watch the Golf Channel and to watch – the guys on the Golf Channel this morning, and none of them picked Charlie to win this event. Again, you know, because he hit the ball so bad yesterday, and it is very difficult on the PGA Tour to do two things. Follow up a low score with another low score, especially on a golf course like this, number one. And number two, follow up a great putting day with another great putting day.
I would tend to agree with that for sure. And today is going to be difficult with the amount of wind that they're going to have there this afternoon. So you're going to have to hit some quality shots to be able to, with this leaderboard, 13 guys within 5 shots of the lead, you're not going to be able to fake it today.
Well, what's interesting about what happened yesterday, and I don't know if you had a chance to watch it, I know you were working your tail off the last few days, was on number two, Charlie Hoffman just duck hooked. And I mean duck hooked like I would. A ball off the tee and rattled around in the tree. She basically should have gone out of bounds, but got lucky and hit a tree and then ended up making a birdie. I mean, he birdied 5 of the first 6 holes. But from then on, every shot he missed, he just basically blocked. He didn't miss another shot left the entire round. But he blocked everything. I mean, you could see, it was interesting. I mean, you could actually see him blocking shots to make sure that he didn't hit another shot left. He was so frightened of what was going on, he was scared to death and didn't hit another shot left the entire round, but hit everything right because he was short-arming, he was not finishing his backswing, he was blocking it, he was doing anything he could to not hit it left. And he did say after the round that he knew what he was doing wrong, and he tried to fix it a little bit towards the end, but that he was going to go to the range and fix it. But he did what you needed to do on the PGA Tour to be able to score, which was don't lose it both ways. Now, with the wind blowing 25 on a regular basis, it could be much more difficult if you don't have an A or a B plus game today.
Well, and here's one of the things too, is that he was into his round, going through what he went through that you described, the first five or six holes, and he's making some putts, obviously, and so he's got a flow, even though he's not hitting it the way he wants to. He's got a flow in scoring. Now he's got to sit last night, sleep last night, and come back to the golf course knowing that, hey, I hit it like crap yesterday, and I have the lead. You know, I mean, it's a different mindset. He's into the game as he's doing that.
Was working perfect.
So, you know, when you have a player that is you know, doing that, you know, it's different when you're on the golf course, and then when you are having to sleep on the lead. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about RBC and what Charlie Hoffman's going to have to do to hold on to this lead and close it out. You're listening to The Golfer's Home with Stephen Gribben, AM 1190, iHeartRadio.
Hi, I'm Jim LeCamp.
And I'm Pat Riddell, co-host of Money Sense at the Opening Bell.
Are you fed up with the endless, relentless arguments about bull market, bear market, trading range market, deflation, hyperinflation, and all the other chatter that leaves you on the sidelines, earning nothing, nada, zip?
Well, we have good news for you. There are opportunities in a highly uncertain environment like this if you know where to look. Let us help you. We'll show you how non-traditional investments can help you uncover uncommon returns.
Give us a call, 800-841-5388,
or log on to money-sense.com.
North Texans are coming together to help the victims of the deadly explosion in West by donating blood, by helping the Red Cross, or by helping the Salvation Army. Find ways to help by visiting our website at dfw1190am.com and click on the link for ways to help.
Quite often we find ourselves thinking we should have done things sooner.
I love that we took this vacation.
I know. We should have done this a long time ago.
Sooner is just better than later. And now you don't have to wait till later to own the car of your dreams. Thanks to a surprisingly affordable certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. And with exceptional 1.99% financing on select models, now through April 30th, that dream is more attainable than ever. Each of our certified pre-owned vehicles undergoes an exhaustive process of analysis, inspection, and reconditioning until it meets the uncompromising standards of a Mercedes-Benz. Plus, every one is available with an optional extended limited warranty for up to 7 years or 135,000 total vehicle miles. And now, with 3 months of Sirius XM satellite radio. And your certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz is available only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. Visit today for exceptional financing.
Ah, the sound of small business getting busier. Can you tell which one is using AT&T? Truth is, they all are. Because businesses of all kinds can find AT&T customizable plans that fit their exact needs. Whether it's broadband, mobility, or nationwide voice, at AT&T, we can help your business get humming.
I need more receipt paper, please.
Call 1-855-877-4288 today and ask about special offers available for new small business packages. AT&T. Rethink possible.
GEICO presents a thank you letter from your motorcycle.
Hey, I just wanted to say thanks. Ever since you saved money on your motorcycle insurance with GEICO, we've been going out a lot more. When we're together, things just work. My pipes rumble, and my engine screams like an eagle. A happy eagle, not one of those angry eagles. You know? Yeah, you know.
GEICO could help you save on your motorcycle insurance, and that should make you and your bike very happy.
Are any of these symptoms familiar? Weight gain, hot flashes, rapid heartbeat, night sweats? How about fatigue, nausea, low libido, and fat storage? If you're a woman over 40 experiencing any of these symptoms, you probably have hormonal imbalance. Ambrin restores hormonal balance in women over 40 so you can finally lose the weight and the other symptoms simply disappear. To receive a complimentary risk-free trial with a free 30-day supply, just be one of the first callers right now at 1-800-417-1738. 1-800-417-1738.
When you listen to 1190 AM, you're going to hear important stuff, like who did something stupid, who's most likely to do something even more stupid. Now, if you're a business owner, you can put your advertising in with a bunch of boring, unimportant stuff, or you can place it with important stuff. I think you know what to do. DFW1190AM.com, keyword important stuff.
This is Pete the Fast Greek, host of Race Talk, the motorsports talk show, heard every Saturday live from high noon to 2 p.m. right here on 1190 AM. NASCAR, NHRA, the IndyCar Series, we talk about it all. Plus, we let you know where they're racing right here in the Metroplex. So join me, Pete the Fast Greek, for Race Talk, the motorsports talk show, live at high noon right here on 1190 AM and streaming live at iHeartRadio.com, keyword 1190 AM, Dallas-Fort Worth. And remember, keep your racing on the track, not on the street.
It's the Golfers Home, 1190 AM. Morning, everybody. I'm Stephen Gribben, joined as I am most weeks by Tim Cusick. And we are talking golf. On today's show, we will have Mr. Rex Hoggard at 9:05. At 8:40, James McAfee will come on and talk about a very special, very sexist, I guess, I don't know, golf tournament, charity event. The Playboy Golf Tournament is coming to Dallas, and we'll talk about that. And hey, Tim, that, speaking of that, and I don't mean to sound sexist, because I'm not. I love women's golf. You know I love women's golf. But is there something in a man's DNA? We don't look at the PGA Tour, I mean, other than jokingly, and look at the guys and go, okay, that guy's overweight, or that guy's not overweight, or that guy looks more athletic than the next guy. I mean, to me, sometimes it's a joke that a guy like Tim Herron could play as well as he can, but it's a joke. But then I look at the LPGA Tour, and I do look at the women. I do look at the very high percentage of women that I think tend to look overweight on the LPGA Tour. And I'm not trying to be sexist about this, but do women watch the men's tour and go, he's good looking, he's not good looking? And is that a part of what makes sport good?
I think you're asking me a Dr. Phil question here, Stephen.
But I would say, really bothered me yesterday that I'm sitting there watching Salas. I was watching Salas, and she's been on the top of the board through most weeks lately, playing great. This woman comes from a not a great background. Mm-hmm. Her father did everything he could to make her a player. Spent all his money on his daughter. I mean, it's a great story, but yet,
I would say
it's like she's supposed to be an athlete.
Absolutely. That females look at the men on the PGA Tour and, hey, Adam Scott's cute or Ricky Fowler's cute or, you know, this or that. I think it's just human nature. I mean, the same way that we might look at the LPGA Tour.
You know, but what it's for me, it's a little bit different. It's not about attractive or not attractive. And maybe it is to some extent, because, I mean, I think Suzanne Pedersen is a very, very pretty young lady. But it's more about the fact that, if you look at the men today, for the most part, they learned over the last 15 years that golf is a sport. And they had to be in great condition to be able to play this sport well on a regular basis. So you don't see a lot of the Lee Trevino bodies anymore. You don't see that on the PGA Tour. You see guys who are basically in shape and who work out and who do stuff. But then I watch the LPGA Tour, and I see an abundance of the other side of this thing. And I don't understand why that is.
Well, I would love to know the count at the Masters last week, the number of physical therapists and trainers that were there with their players, because there were a ton of them. And these guys on the tour, you know, if they want to keep up, if they want to win, if they want to make money, as we know, I mean, they have got to be in shape. Now, it's probably going to take on the LPGA Tour the same thing that it took on the PGA Tour, someone to get in shape like Suzanne Pedersen has and run away with everything, for the rest of the group to say, hey, you know what? If we want to keep up, we better do it.
And so, I mean, is it a function? And again, I'm being serious here. I'm not joking around. I'm not trying to make this sexist. But is there something too that if you take a 5'4" or a 5'5" woman, that the extra weight is going to make her hit the ball farther? Or I don't know. I'm trying to totally understand this because of the fact that so many of the women on the tour tend to be overweight.
Well, two things. You have especially on the LPGA Tour, because all the guys on the PGA Tour have speed and they have strength. Now, there's some that have a little bit more than others, but they all have an adequate amount of both of those in their game and in their makeup. On the LPGA Tour, you have to be able to have some speed and some strength to have a chance, but the ones that have it really have a huge advantage. Now, you look at different makeups. Lorena Ochoa was, you know, very, very thin,
right,
but had lots of hand speed. Now, some of the girls that are a little bit bigger in size, similar to other sports, let's just say softball, tend to be a little bit thicker, a little bit bigger, and that might equate to a little bit more strength that allows them to compress the ball more.
Okay, and I really do want to understand that, because from the standpoint, you know, and again, I mean, this young lady, Salas, can flat out play the game. Now, mm-hmm. she has to learn how to win, and we all know that, and eventually she will. There's no question about that. But, you know, I hearken back to the days of the Amy Alcotts and the women that I feel bad that I'm saying this. I really do, because I want to watch the sport as a sport. But to me, it takes away from it being a sport.
I understand what you're saying, and you know, the bottom line is on the LPGA Tour, if you have strength and if you have speed, you have a decided advantage over some of the other competitors. I mean, there's some junior players that you know, that I teach from across the country,
right,
that will come in and take lessons that have great technique but lack strength and lack speed. They weren't born with speed. They can create some speed, but they can only create so much.
All right, so, but it raises the question, Tim, and now we're down to that bottom line. Can women build body strength without building more weight?
Oh, certainly.
I mean, is that possible?
Yeah, without a
doubt.
So
what you're saying, it is going to come down to LPGA players starting to really build their body, like, you know, you see a lot of the men today working out. I see. Okay. I'm just trying to understand it, folks. Please, please don't email me. Don't make it out that I'm some sort of sexist, because I love watching the LPGA Tour.
And I think Suzanne Pedersen's a great example of that, Stephen. I mean, she is as fit as can be. I mean, she would be the equivalent to, same thing with Annika, you know, a few years back, the equivalent to Tiger Woods, what he did in the men's game.
Exactly. And that's my point. So it can be done. I mean, look at Stacey Lewis. Stacey Lewis is a child. Or who was the other young lady who came in the same time Paula Creamer did, who's never really made it to the level that Paula did, but who cried at a major event when she lost it? Oh, come on.
Well,
you know who I'm thinking of.
I can't
think of her name right now.
I do.
You could picture her. She left 5-0. And anyway. Okay, enough about this. I just wondered about it because I think there is going to have to come a time, you're right, when these girls are going to start carrying physical therapists. And, you know, it's amazing. I'll never forget, after the Eagles retired and went away, and they came back 10 years later, and they did their tour. And I'm fortunate that I'm friends with a couple of them and acquaintances. And so I've seen the Eagles a lot. They are by far my favorite band. So when they started going on tour, one of the first places they played was down in Orange County. And we went down there. We went backstage. And I said to Don, I said, Don, what's the biggest difference between today and 10 years ago when you did this? He goes, Gribben, 10 years ago, it was about the women. It was about the drugs. It was about this. It was about that. 10 years later, it's about we all have our families with us. We all have our chefs with us. We all have our physical therapists with us. We all have our trainers with us. Because if we didn't, we'd all be dead after three nights of this.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
I always thought that was hilarious, but it's true. And it's just, I mean, that's, I think, where golf has progressed to, in that, you know, you don't hear people asking anymore if golf is a sport, because you look at the men on the tour and they are built like athletes.
Well, look at Adam Scott.
I mean, a lot of these guys could be playing a lot of other sports.
Mm-hmm. Adam Scott looks like, you know, like Kelly Slater, you know, a world-class surfer. I mean, he is
exactly
ripped, built, and muscles coming out everywhere.
And I agree with that. So it's just a question because, again, it's happened the last couple of weeks from first to the Dinosaur, which I can never call an Nabisco. I don't care what anybody says. It is the Dinosaur. And I'm not trying to age myself. She made that tournament what it is, and it's really a shame that they took her name off of it. And then this week watching in Hawaii, I started realizing this, that, you know, It bothers me that I think about it that way, but I also want to understand it. All right, speaking of golf, got an email from Art Strickland. And I don't know if you are already a part of this, Tim, but if you're not, we need to nominate you. The 2013 class of inductees for the Texas Golf Hall of Fame nominations is available. You can qualify, you can name, the public is asked to nominate qualified individuals through and pursuant to the guidelines established on the Hall's website at www.texasgolfhof.org. TexasGolfHOF.org. And you can go there. We want the golfing public involved in our process of selecting the next members of the greatest state golf Hall of Fame. Some of the guys in the Hall of Fame include Nelson, Hogan, Crenshaw, Kite, Carol Mann, Mark Brooks, Justin Leonard, Charlie Epps, who we've all come to know in the last week, Jim Hardy, Randy Smith. It's just an amazing. There are five categories that you can nominate in: amateur, tour professional, club professional, pioneer, and distinguished service. So I guess I would fall under distinguished service since they don't do media.
That's great that they're involving the public with it.
I love it, too. And there's historic golf courses that can also get nominated. Breckenridge, which was the first golf course, I think, in Texas. Cedar Crest, one of only two golf courses in the Metroplex designed by Mr. McKenzie. Brook Hollow, also the other one. And Colonial and the Champions Golf Club in Houston. So if you want to get involved in this, you can nominate Mr. Cusick. You can nominate me. It's www.texasgolfhof.org. And I wanted to get that out there because Art asked me to talk about it. So it's pretty cool. 2011, Rich Beam was put in, Jim Hardy, Marty Leonard, one of the women pioneers of golf in this Metroplex, Ralph Plummer and Randy Smith went in 2011.
That's a great list right there. I would say that it's very nice of you to consider me, but my my name and my status is maybe just a few years away from that.
Well, I don't agree with that. I think you, I mean, what you do for golf is, you know, especially with the inception, with the creation and the building of the junior golf clinic that you've done at the sports club is second to nobody. And I think that, you know, I think that because of what you did when team golf was floundering around, I think you guys helped create really an amazing program. And
thank you.
I mean it, and I think you do belong in this. So
thank you very much.
I'm just telling you. So we'll have to get that done. So I wanted to make sure we discussed that. I guess the biggest story this week is not on the golf course as it relates to Harbortown, Tim. And it was I texted Mr. Parnovic and asked him if he would let me know, and I haven't heard back from Jasper. But Friday night, not everyone finished their round, and the cut was at one over. And there was one player that could determine a change in the cut, mm-hmm. and that was Jasper Parnovic. And if he had bogeyed 18, the cut line would go from about 70 players to 91 players.
Wow.
And so I jokingly said in a radio interview, and then I talked about it with Brian Katrick, and we'll talk about that in a minute, Tim. But I said, I wonder how many guys text or called Parnovic who were at two over and said, hey, will you do me a favor and bogey the hole? You know, and I wonder if he actually thought about that to help out some friends. I mean, Snedeker was a two over par, so it helped him.
That's a very interesting scenario potential proposition. But that when you have that scenario and you get that many, and we'll talk about it after the break. You run into a scenario on Saturday where they're again playing for their week. They do get paid, but they might not play on Sunday.
But the interesting thing is, as hard as the golf course was playing, you had guys, I mean, the cut was only 8 strokes behind the leader.
Yeah, that's
when was the last time you heard that?
Unheard of outside of a major.
Exactly. And so my point was, I mean, you know, anybody, even though it went to 2 over and you ended up with 91 players and you ended up with threesomes and split tees and everything else on the weekend, it was pretty cool that a guy who finished it, who got in Saturday morning, could actually still have won the golf tournament.
So Jasper did make a bogey, correct?
He did make a bogey. And the cut went to 2 over par. The two parts I had about that were, I wonder if anybody had left, and I didn't check that, Saturday morning from Friday night, not realizing that Parnovic could still make a bogey and change the cut line. I wonder if anybody left.
Well, and it's one of the first times that if they did leave, they could get back.
That's exactly right. So I wondered that, and then I also, I mean, I'm really serious about this. I wonder if, jokingly, because Parnovic is one of the funnier guys on the tour.
Yeah.
And he is a playful guy.
Yeah.
I just wondered how many guys just emailed him or texted him or called him and said, hey, do me a favor, make a bogey, will you, so I can play on the weekend, get a little bit of a check.
He is. If it had to happen to somebody, it's great that it fell on his shoulders. He had a great video that came out. If you catch it on YouTube, earlier this year, when Gangnam Style was all the rage around the world, that he and some of the other tour pros he recruited and did a music video and it was for charity, and put it on YouTube.
We'll have to look at that over the break.
It is funny.
We're going to come and talk more about Jasper. We're going to talk a lot about Augusta in the second hour. When we return, there's a special charity golf event coming up, and hopefully James McAvee will call in and tell us all about it. I'm Stephen Gribben. He's Tim Cusick. This is The Golfer's Home, 1190 AM.
If you were to win $50,000, you could give it all to charity in hopes that'll guarantee you a place in heaven.
Hi, welcome to heaven.
Because, let's face it, your odds of getting into paradise at this point are pretty slim. But before you graciously give away $50,000, you have to win $50,000. So listen up and find out how. Be listening for the cue to text keyword. When you hear it, text that keyword to 36500 to get registered. You'll win $1,000 just for qualifying for the 50K.
$50,000.
And that ain't bad.
$50,000.
It's an ultimate iHeartRadio experience. Winning $50,000 to waste on whatever you want. It's like finding a whole bunch of change under a couch cushion. A gigantic couch cushion. So get your texting thumb ready for action and keep it here for the keyword that could make you 50 grand happier. Good luck.
Discovering your family's roots at Ancestry.com takes you on a journey back into time. And right now, through Sunday, Ancestry is offering an unprecedented discount on all Ancestry.com memberships when you enter the discount code BECK at checkout. Imagine what untold stories can be found when you access historic census and military records, browse family trees, and connect with distant relatives. So don't wait. Take advantage of this fantastic discount before it expires this Sunday. Whether you're looking to explore U.S. documents or access their extensive international records, it's all included during this special offer. Visit Ancestry.com now through Sunday and enter the promo code BECK at checkout for your exclusive discount. You can't find this offer after Sunday and is only valid with the discount code BECK. Don't wait. Visit Ancestry.com today. That's Ancestry.com. Ancestry.com. Discount code BECK.
Geico presents a thank you letter from your motorcycle.
Hey, I just wanted to say thanks. Ever since you saved money on your motorcycle insurance with Geico, we've been going out a lot more. When we're together, things just work. My pipes rumble, and my engine screams like an eagle. A happy eagle, not one of those angry eagles. You know? Yeah, you know.
Geico could help you save on your motorcycle insurance, and that should make you and your bike very happy.
If you want to work until you drop, reduce your standard of living in retirement, or lose more of your hard-earned money in the stock market, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to generate a steady, predictable income, I'm talking real wealth and financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. A free report is now available that reveals the money-making secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. This report reveals how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your hard-earned money in the Wall Street casino. How you can bypass banks and credit cards and become your own source of financing. And how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. And it beats the pants off any IRA or 401k. To learn more about this method and to get your free special report, visit bankonyourself.com right now. That's bankonyourself.com. www.bankonyourself.com.
Help people with disabilities in North Texas and their families by taking part in the Walk, Roll, Stroll, Saturday morning, April 27th in Addison. Benefiting Ability Connection Texas. Find out more at walkrollstroll.org.
This is Tom O'Brien. You can catch my program, The Tom O'Brien Show, live Monday through Friday from 3 to 4 p.m., where I'll break down the day's market action and take your calls and questions right here on KFXR 1190 AM.
Home 1190. We're going to talk model railroading for a second here. So, Tim, I got to tell you, you got to come over to the new office. I've got two of the three tables up for the railroad. I've got the third table top done. I just have to put the legs on it. And then I will have an area that is 12 feet long by 8 feet on each side with a center walk-in to build my model railroad.
Wow. That's quite a, that's quite a layout.
Yesterday I did all the tables, built them, still have to nail in the tops, and then I got to put the foam on them, and then I got to start building the mountains and everything, but the tables will be up today before I go play golf.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
You're going to have to...
That was for me, before I go play golf was for you to say, hey, Grib, would you like to come play golf at the Four Seasons today? Sure, Tim, thanks.
You're going to have to post these pictures on Twitter.
I will. That's a great idea, actually. As soon as the last table's up, I will. I'll show that picture of how we started this thing. Actually, I could take a picture right now and post it also, which I'll do at the break. But yes, the tables will be up, and missing three pieces of railroad of the track that I couldn't find in stock anywhere. If anybody knows where I can get some Bachmann Easy Track 44131, I need some DCC switches, right switches. Anyway, all right, so we talked Jasper Farnum. Okay, is McAfee on the line?
Yes.
Okay. We'll talk Charlie Hoffman later. We'll talk Adam Scott at length. I did 13 interviews starting Sunday night until yesterday.
Wow.
In not one of those interviews, not one, did we talk Adam Scott until at least 6 minutes into the interview.
Really?
Yeah. This is going to be another Stewart Cink thing. No question, where the history of the 2013 Masters will have nothing to do with the first Australian winning, and it's really unfortunate. But it will be about Tiger Woods and his, whether he should have disqualified himself, which you can't do, whether he should have withdrawn, whatever. Mm-hmm. That will always be the first thing that's talked about, and it's really unfortunate because this was an historic, historic weekend. When you consider the guys who came before Adam who couldn't win at Augusta.
Right, right. Agree. And I saw, you know, I saw John Sendin, a fellow Australian out at the Four Seasons this week playing some golf with Rod Pampling and a couple other Australian pros that were in town, and didn't ask him specifically about Adam, but asked him more about the golf course, not the Australian thing, but more about the golf course, and he had some really, really interesting insight in terms of how fast and hard the golf course got on Saturday, and then how slow and soft
right. It
got on Sunday.
Right, and mentally, we'll talk about that a lot in the second hour, Tim, because you know Tiger gets the brunt of that for not being able to control the putt, but the same thing definitely happened to Snedeker.
Oh,
Snedeker,
without a doubt,
by all rights, should have won the golf tournament. I mean, he was the guy in place to win, and he just could not
adjust.
You mentally cannot do that at Augusta. There's no question that you cannot change that quickly at Augusta because of the difference. I'm sitting here watching, you know, while I'm talking on the radio, I've got the the National Spain Open on the Golf Channel. And I mean, I think the biggest difference between the European Golf Tour and the PGA Tour, not just the Masters, but the PGA Tour versus the European Tour, is the golf courses are just as good now, but the speed of the greens is completely different. Mm-hmm. I mean, they do not get the speed of the greens in Europe and anywhere that they play the European Tour compared to what we get here in America.
No, they don't. And that's where maybe some of the European players, when you do come to the golf courses that just get ridiculously fast, that's a tough transition in just a 1 week's time.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. All right, we're joined by James McAfee. James does so many different things in golf around the Metroplex. We'll let James explain that to you. He's got a senior AM tour that he oversees, on June 1st at Tour 18 in Flower Mound is the Playboy Golf Scramble. And to tell us all about it, here is Mr. Jim McAfee. Morning, Jimmy.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm just fine on the thing.
Good. So tell us about this golf tournament.
Okay. The Playboy Scramble is part of a series of 20 events going on across the country. They're expanding what they used to do. And the winners from each of the 20 sites will advance to the Playboy Golf Gala in celebration in 2014. We'll have a chance to go to the Playboy Mansion and everything that you might expect out there in California.
And where will the finals be played?
Well, they haven't given me an exact date on that yet. He was finalizing that this week. Randy Tattinger from Pittsburgh, who is heading that up.
Okay.
They're finalizing the exact date of that, but we do have the event at Tour 18, and then we have two others in Texas, June 22nd at Wildcat Golf Club in Houston, and June 28th at Tapatio in Bernie. So, and again, it'll be a scramble format, and there'll be a net and a gross division, so it'll be for players of all handicap levels, so it should be but the main part of it will be while the golf is part of the program. You know, Playboy Golf is all about recognizing that golf is fun. There'll be all kinds of activities out there, different kind of format than you might see it at a regular golf tournament.
Talking to James McAfee about the Playboy Golf Scramble. So how do you put together your team? Is there a handicap number? Are you verifying handicaps? How does this all come about?
Yes, they're verifying handicaps. People can go to www.playboygolftournaments.com, and there's a way to register for the tournament and so forth right there. And handicaps do have to be attested. You'll have to turn your handicap card in. You can enter now, but then you'll have to verify your handicap on check-in at the Tour 18 on June 1st.
Okay, and so you'll bring a letter from your head pro or something like that?
Right. Well, most people, if you've got, should have a handicap card that you get from your club or from the Texas
right.
Golf Association or from your club. It should be, but some of them will have maybe a letter or something, but a lot of times it's just a card that is changed twice a month.
And then, James, so can you put together a team of all scratch golfers or all 90 handicappers, or how does that work?
Well, there is a gross division where you can just pair with anybody you want on the type thing. It's probably for the better golfers who like to, and it's a two-person competition, too, so you'll get a two-man team together and...
Oh, it's only two men. I'm sorry. I thought it was four. Okay, so it's a two-man team.
Two-man team on the type thing, and then, of course, there'll be the two divisions. That's where when we were talking about four, I think. So
right.
In that regard on the thing, I think it'll be, you know, a fun day. There's a party the night before and an awards dinner and some other contest, and everybody who enters the tournament across the country, not based on their scoring thing, but one of the two-man teams will win a trip to South Africa to play in the World Golfers Championship in the fall in South Africa.
Nice. Very nice. James, you mentioned that there's other activities that are going to go on out there at Tour 18 during the day. What are some of those activities?
Well, it will be a fun activity. They will also have some of the Playboy Bunnies there. They'll have a 18 to 20 of it'll be a contest for the Playboy Ladies of Golf from the local area, and they'll have a contest to pick those sometimes prior to the golf tournament. I'm not as familiar with they've got a modeling agency involved with determining who those are, and one of those ladies will be on each of the tees, and one of them will be chosen by the golfers to go to the Playboy Mansion or the national contest, too. So it'll sort of be a beauty contest that day, too, or Playboy contest to pick your favorite girl as you're going around to the 18 holes. So.
Okay, and the event is June 1st, and what is the website you go to?
It's www.playboygolftournaments.com.
Okay, and just go there, register, and we'll see you on June 1st if you would like to play. And, James, spend a couple minutes talking about your senior AM tour.
Okay, well, it's a little smaller scale. I think I've got 26 people that are signed up this year, but we play twice a month during the spring and fall, and then only once during the summer because a lot of people are traveling on the thing. And we one of the neat things about it is we use a Stableford system where your quotas change. If you have a good day this week, then your quota will go up for the next tournament. So over the long haul of the season, you know, it keeps everybody's handicap being changed on a regular basis when you adjust it after each tournament. So if you have a very good day, like one gentleman did last year, an 82-year-old, he shot his age, and the next event he's complaining because his quota, not really complaining, in a jesting manner, he was saying, "James, you're penalizing me for shooting my age," but he was, it makes it fair for the whole year to have it, you know, based on a changing alternating system.
And then how do people get involved with that event if they want it? What is the age? Is it 50 or 55?
50 and over on the thing, and they can join that tour. It's still going on now. We've got our next event next week at Waterview, but they can do that by calling me at 214-724-1261. And as I say, we play at various courses, public courses, around the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Perfect. I appreciate you joining us very much, and we'll talk to you down the line. I thank you so much for joining us, James McAfee from the Playboy Golf Scramble.
Hope you can make it to the Playboy tournament, Stephen.
I will. I'll talk to you soon about it.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. That's James McAfee. It's tournament season, isn't it, Timmy?
Interesting event there, Stephen, that's for sure.
That's one way to put it. It should be a fun event, I'll tell you that. I mean, especially if you've got a girl on every single hole who's vying for... to be named to a Playboy final. That's pretty good.
Is this the first year they've done that?
I don't know the answer to that. I'm just reading is excited to relaunch the Playboy Golf brand in 2013, it says.
Playboy's got a lot of brands on a lot of things, that's for sure.
Yes, they do. So they've put together a group of people around America to put on these tournaments, and... interesting. It's an interesting concept. And for the ladies' part, the ladies who have dreamed of being a Playboy playmate may take the first step towards becoming one and join the incredible world of Playboy, becoming a Playboy Ladies of Golf participant. Interesting.
All right.
So give me your overall feeling of taking your son to Augusta for the first time.
Well, Stephen, you know, obviously when you go to Augusta, if you're not a diehard fan, you still can take a lot away from it because you're just walking around on maybe one of the most beautiful pieces of property that doesn't have an ocean tied to it. But, you know, he is really into golf. What I found that was interesting is, so on, we were there Friday, Saturday. I loved seeing on Saturday all the kids that were out there watching the event and who their allegiance is to by looking at their outfits and, you know, and then looking at the crowd in general and my son looking at the crowd in general and just knowing that this is a true golf crowd, not just out for a party, which that's fine and there's nothing wrong with that, but a true golf crowd. Now, he had absolute time of his life. We watched Tiger was the second to last group on Friday when he hit the pin, and Ricky Fowler was right behind him. We watched them until just before dark and hung out around the grounds trying to let the traffic ease a little bit. Went over to the practice facilities, picked up a ball from Rio Ishikawa that my son said hi to, and Rio gave him a golf ball, which made his day. And, you know, it's just amazing what little things do. He wrote down a list of the number of different pros that gave him knuckle bumps walking from greens to the next tee. And, you know, that's what it's all about.
So would you say there was abundance of kids his age who are Ricky Fowler fans? Is that the deal?
I would say so. We were walking up the first fairway on Saturday watching Ricky Fowler, and there was a golf news reporter that had pulled a little boy aside that was probably about the same age as my son Carson, 11, 12 years old, that was in the full orange Ricky outfit with the shorts on, had pulled him aside, and they were interviewing him.
Interesting.
But there were also a number of different kids with different Ricky Fowler outfits. I mean, that's the one I think the young kids root for the most. But it's you know, I hadn't been there since 2000, and so in 2013, obviously they have a new practice facility that opened in 2010, and that just blew me away. That was one of the takeaways that I had from this year, that just I was just in awe of what that practice facility was like.
Yeah, it's amazing. Oh, and speaking of that, the woman's name is Morgan Pressel.
Ah, there we go.
And Madison, her sister, is playing this coming week at Las Colinas.
Yeah, she qualified about a month ago in a qualification to get into the event.
All right. Next up, we're going to talk to Rex. And then after that, you and I need to kind of talk about this LPGA event, which has it had any promotion? Have you seen anything about
no,
it in sports sections or any place?
I haven't, unfortunately. I've driven by Las Colinas Country Club a couple times and have seen a few different banners out there, but that's it.
Are they putting up stands? Or do they expect a crowd?
I don't have an answer to that.
Buy tickets. You can buy tickets at LPGA.com. They're available for purchase at Tom Thumb or at the admissions gate.
Yes, and hopefully we've got good weather for it. Hopefully we'll have people that will go over, check it out. Love to see more about it, and hopefully we'll get some local coverage that will give us some more answers as to what's going on this week there.
Yeah, I'd like to do the show from there next Sunday morning if we can. I'd just like to know more about it. So let's talk about that next. But next up, Rex Hoggard, Tim Cusick, Stephen Gribben, we're going to review Tiger Woods, Adam Scott, and Stevie Williams. That's all next here on the Golfer's Home, 1190 AM.
KFXR Dallas, with all the top news and business stories of the day. It's all on 1190 AM.
NBC News Radio, I'm Alex Witt. The Mississippi has started to flood towns along its banks, and it's going to be a long week ahead. Here's NBC meteorologist Dylan Dreyer.
In some areas in the Midwest, it's only going to get worse. Missouri rivers aren't expected to crest until about Tuesday, so flooding is still going to be a major issue.
Reporter Elizabeth Matthews with NBC affiliate KSDK is in Clarksville, Missouri.
The Mississippi expected to crest here late Sunday, early Monday, close to 36 feet. Which is nearing a record. But just three blocks down here, the mighty Mississippi has already crossed Highway 79, the main road in town and out of town.
Prosecutors could announce charges against 19-year-old Zokhar Tsarnaev today for his part in the Boston Marathon bombing. Runners in London's and Bethlehem's marathons today showed support for those killed and injured in Boston's race by wearing black armbands and T-shirts. Security was beefed up at both events. This is NBC News Radio. A second company hoping to fly private rockets to the International Space Station has called off a test launch for the second time. Virginia-based Orbital Sciences Corps called off the launch from Virginia's eastern shore because of high winds in the upper atmosphere. Lufthansa, Germany's largest air carrier, says it's canceling almost 1,700 flights tomorrow. Thousands of workers plan to strike the airline tomorrow, calling for higher pay. U.S. Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel says Israel must decide for itself if it should take preemptive action against Iran's nuclear program. More now from NBC's Scott Walterman in Washington.
Hagel used his first visit to Israel as Pentagon chief to highlight his view that Israel has to decide for itself if and when to preemptively attack its neighbor, acknowledging that while Israel and the U.S. share a commitment to ensuring that Iran does not acquire a nuclear weapon, there may well be some differences between the two on the question of when Iran's leaders might decide to go for a bomb.
I'm Alex Witt, NBC News Radio.
Hi, folks. Jay Farner here, president of Quicken Loans. We're thrilled to have helped over 125,000 homeowners save money by refinancing with HARP. But there are millions more of you who could be saving big money on your home loans by getting HARPed. With HARP, you may be able to refinance with Quicken Loans even if your home has lost value. For example, if you owe $300,000 on your mortgage, but your home's only worth $150,000, Quicken Loans may still be able to help you get HARPed and start saving. Or if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Once again, if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, or if you owe more than your home is worth, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Managing your money in retirement isn't easy, especially when the expert you've hired isn't looking out for your best interests. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says light oversight of financial credentials makes it especially difficult for seniors to choose the right advisor. Financial advisors can take up as many as 50 different titles, and the paths to those credentials vary widely. For example, you could hire an accredited retirement advisor or an accredited estate planner, but only one of those is required to have 5 years of experience and some graduate-level education. That's the estate planner. The retirement advisor designation requires only that you take a 3-hour course and pass a 100-question multiple-choice exam. The Consumer Bureau says even those in the industry are confused, so it's calling on the Securities and Exchange Commission to increase oversight and enforcement and to create a tool where consumers can verify an advisor's credentials. I'm Tracy Jahnke from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Packers.
Vikings.
Red State.
Blue State.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But no matter how different we are, we're all connected, and we can all make a difference. That's why United Way brings people, expertise, and resources together to improve the education, income, and health of our communities. The building blocks for a better life. When we live united, our efforts, magnified by others, add up to real change. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly, so do our communities. But real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So let's look beyond our differences.
Live united.
One by one, let's make a difference. Let's reach out a hand to one and influence the condition of all.
Live united.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
At Advance Auto Parts, we love to help you keep your car rolling down the highway with awesome deals on parts every day. And what better way to keep on rolling than in a new truck? Enter the Castrol Truck Sweepstakes at Advance. You could win a 2013 Ford F-150 worth over 30 grand. 30 grand? Dang! Enter now at
Advance Auto Parts.
No purchase necessary for sweepstakes, void where prohibited. Visit CastrolTruckSweeps.com for program rules and a better.
Discover Card.
So that's it. I lost my job. My days of coaching football are over.
Well, that's tough, but you will bounce back. You've got our new IT card, so we'll lower your interest rate, lower your monthly payment, or find another way to help.
You'd do that for me?
Of course. You are a champion. Now, who are you?
A champion.
No, come on. Who are you?
A champion.
Who are you?
I'm a champion.
No, seriously, I need your name.
Oh, it's Steve.
At Discover, we treat you like you'd treat you. Job loss support. Get the new IT card at discover.com.
1190 AM, NBC News, and the best in specialty programming.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or Clear Channel Communications.
Nine holes down and nine holes to play. It's the backside of the golfer's home. Here's your host, Stephen Gribben.
It's 9:05. It's Sunday morning. It's the golfer's home. The LPGA is coming to Las Colinas. We'll talk about that in about 15, 20 minutes. And right now, we're going to close out what was to me truly a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week of golf in Augusta, Georgia. And joining us to do that, as he does every week, is the Golf Channel's own Mr. Rex Hoggard. Okay, before we get to Augusta, I do have to say, I'm watching the Golf Channel this morning. Not one of the guys or the women on the Golf Channel picks Charlie to win today. Who do you pick to finish?
Oh, wow, that's a good pick. I don't know that I would pick Charlie to win either. I think Webb Simpson, that was a great round yesterday at Hilton. And I think he's probably due. So if I had to lean in someone's direction, I'm going to go with Webb Simpson.
Okay, and pretty much that's pretty much what everybody else said. You also this week talked about, did an article about, you know, the next first-time major winner. We keep having them and having them. And kind of to a man, you've all picked Brent Snedeker at this point.
Well, and not so much because I think he's playing well, which he is, or what he did at Augusta National, which was pretty impressive. I know he didn't get it done on Sunday again. But, I mean, if you look at the next first-time major champion, you have to just look at the next major venue.
Exactly.
It's going to be Marion, and you know, we haven't been there in a long time for the U.S. Open. It's going to be a unique golf course. It's right at 7,000 yards. It's going to be tight. If they get the conditions they want, the greens will probably be more like Augusta than Augusta was, and I think that all favors a guy like Brent Snedeker, ball control guy, very good putter.
And I agree with that completely. I think that he is a perfect pick for that golf tournament. Rex Hoggard joining us from the Golf Channel. Tim Cusick is with me. I'm Stephen Gribben. It's the Golfer's Home. All right. Scale of 1 to 10. Let's take the whole thing, not just the golf. How good was Augusta last week?
Well, you referred to it as a week. It feels like it was a fortnight. I mean, it's almost like Wimbledon. The golf was great. The last hour, you know, the tournament delivered, and it changed the conversation. And all we wanted to talk about going into the weekend was the slow play penalty for the Chinese 14-year-old, or the penalty against Tiger Woods, and the 9 disqualification. And, I mean, it was all these things swirling outside of the golf course that was sort of a distraction. But on cue, Augusta National delivered the last 45 minutes, hour. And, I mean, it was real. It was two prize fighters going toe-to-toe with each other. Neither one of them was going to blink. Neither one of them was going to back down. That's exactly what we've come to expect from Augusta on Sunday.
But as you did say, and I know you do a lot of golf interviews during the week. I do a lot. I did a lot of them this week to regular sports talk guys who do their sports talk shows during the week. I even was on with Newey Scruggs, who's doing the new NBC Sports Radio Network. And to a man, there was not one of these interviews I did this week, Rex, that the first 60% of the interview was not about Tiger Woods.
60? Wow, that's softballing it right there. I would say the first 90% it seemed like, and then, oh, yeah, we got to Adam Scott and Angel Cabrera, which is a shame.
Right.
It's Tiger. He's going to dominate the conversation, sometimes for good, sometimes for bad. In this particular instance, I think most people look at the situation from a non-golf point of view, and I'm sure you ran into this and don't
right.
quite understand it. I mean, I think sometimes the rules of golf for the average fan are baffling, and they don't understand why in the world would someone be disqualified for not signing their scorecard in the correct place, or whatever the case may be. In this case, I think a lot of people probably look at this, and I use my sister-in-law as a litmus test. She's never seen a golf club, but she's very athletic. She played, she was on the Auburn College women's soccer team. And when she heard about this ruling and it was explained to her, she thought, wow, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. It's one of those deals where, for those of us in the industry, it's probably didn't seem like the right thing to do, but for everyone else in the real world looking in, they're thinking, well, why else would there have been another option? You know what I mean?
Right. You know, it's interesting. As you and I discussed last week, I think, those people that decided to wait until they heard the whole story and listen to the explanation from the Rules Committee and the whole thing, I think realized why there wasn't a DQ. And yet, then you have Stevie Williams coming out and saying that he felt Tiger should have been disqualified. I've rationally looked at this. I mean, rationally looked at this. And I can't for 1 minute figure out why anybody would think he should have been disqualified after what happened with the Rules Committee.
Well, no. I think once you waited for the story, that's a great point you made. And I think a lot of times, I think on our network, we got pushed into corners and you couldn't wait for the final decision and
right.
you had to sort of make a snap judgment. If you waited and heard everything that transpired, I think 33-7 was the right way to go. The fact that they used 33-7 with Tiger Woods in such a high-profile instance and the fact that the PGA Tour has never used 33-7 in 50-plus years to save someone
right.
from disqualification in similar circumstances, all this just raises flags. Everyone, you know, immediately you're going to go to, well, of course they're playing Tiger rules. They want him around for the weekend for the ratings or whatever the case may be. The application of the rule, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think the timing of it is what makes a lot of people cringe a little bit.
Rex, here's from a fan perspective. I was there on Saturday, was walking the ground Saturday, and obviously, as you know, once you walk inside the gates, you have no access to cell communication whatsoever. The second thing is that there are no walking standard bearers with each individual group. So you rely on the leaderboards and the one main scoreboard off of number one tee for your knowledge of how the players are playing. And I did not follow Tiger on Saturday, but was a few groups back watching Ricky Fowler and some of the other golfers. I did not know of the two-shot penalty until I got back in my car at 5:30, 6 o'clock that night, and my phone had just exploded on what was going on.
The media blackout is pretty much what Augusta National wants. I don't think that's what they had in mind, but it worked out perfectly in this situation.
It did,
you know,
didn't
it's funny,
it?
It's Grimmon called me Friday night. I was on my
right.
way home from a PGA of America dinner that they host for it, and he and I talked about the 14-year-old. Chin Long won, and the one-stroke penalty for slow play. This never got brought up in our conversation, Griffin, if you remember correctly.
That's exactly right. They did a great job of that.
Well, and what was funny is this had been brought up at dinner. I had gotten a random phone call from a club pro who I don't know, and I'm not sure how he got my number, but he had brought this to my attention, that I think Tiger took an incorrect job on 15, and I was polite, and thank you, sir. You get a lot of these, and, you know, I'm just going to let it go because I was in the middle of a very good barbecue dinner. And so I kept eating, and Alex Maselli, of all people, was next to me. So I figured, well, if anyone would have thought of this, the Bulldog would have. So I bring it up, and immediately he sinks his teeth into it. And I think that's when all of us started to realize that there is something to this.
Right.
And from that point, it's great, because, I mean, you understand the rules better than I do. At the time, at midnight, 1 o'clock on Saturday morning, Friday night, the only options were two for us. Either they review the tape in the morning and there was no violation, the drop was fine, we move on. Or they review the tape in the morning and realize that it was a violation, he dropped too far from the original spot, two-stroke penalty, and he's disqualified for signing an incorrect scorecard. There was never an option to see for anyone involved, not me or my bosses or even the writers at ESPN who also wrote this. This never crossed our mind.
Exactly. And what's interesting is, and here's the final straw in this whole thing, and this is why, you know, and you and I don't know if you consider yourself a Stevie Williams apologist. I admit I am. I have great respect for the man. I'm one of the few people that read his book. I love interviewing Stevie Williams. He's always given me the time. I don't know why he has, but he has. But I don't know why he needed to do what he did coming off the airplane. I don't know if he was just tired or what, that he went there. And yesterday on another golf show here locally, David Price came on. And he verbally said, there was not one rules official there. There was not two rules official on 15. There were three rules officials on 15. Three rules officials. And not one of them called the penalty.
You know, well, Stephen, you
yeah, I mean, if you want to break this down, I mean, a Tiger took an incorrect drop in the two-stroke penalty. And in my mind, and I wrote this on Friday, and I kind of agree with you and Stevie on this particular situation, that takes Tiger out of the mix. The onus now falls to the officials who got it wrong in the initial review, from what we were told, and then they failed to bring this up in the scoring trailer after the fact to Tiger. Because something tells me, if they just pull him to the side just for a minute before you sign your card on Friday and Tiger, we got a call, you want to take a look at this, it's a real quick conversation. It's Tiger saying the exact same thing he did to ESPN. Well, I took two steps back.
Exactly.
Two-stroke penalty. And we're done with it. We're done talking about it by 1:45 when he tees off for the third round on Saturday. We're done.
Yep.
You know, Stephen, with that scenario right there with three rules officials on that hole, I was sitting in the grandstands just off of 16, directly in line with Tiger and the pin, and saw the shot firsthand. And once he kind of walked around just a little bit, kind of despondent of what just happened, saw him walk to the drop circle to his left. That was a little bit obstructed with the grandstand, so I didn't see exactly when he was looking at the drop circle. But when he walked back, he was never, at any given time, he was never assisted by a rules official. Now, he might have gotten a nod when he was getting ready to drop that, hey, everything is okay. But he basically was working on his own.
Yeah, and this is why, you know, you and I had the discussion last Sunday morning that I felt bad for the guys on the Golf Channel because of what we've become as a 24/7 news outlet, especially when it's 24/7 about a specific sport that you've got to be public, you got to be out there. And so we have guys saying stuff when they don't know the whole story sometimes. It's even worse for a place like the Golf Channel because we can't split off and go over and talk about soccer or talk about something else. We got to talk golf 24/7. Then for Stevie to get off the airplane 3 days later and say that he thought Tiger should have been disqualified, I just lost something for Stevie on Tuesday morning.
Well, and I tell you what, I am not a Stevie Williams apologist, and I'm not one of those that he gives interviews freely to. But I went out on a limb, and having spent 4 days in Hilton Head after Augusta and talked with a lot of players and a lot of caddies, and it was the buzz, you know, on the range, the practice putting green. A lot of people said the same thing off the record. I mean, a lot of players really felt the same way. And again, this isn't about Tiger Woods. This is about what they felt like would have happened under any other situation.
It's exactly right. I was just shocked that he did it. I was just absolutely shocked.
I was a little shocked too. I think he feels more comfortable. It seems like he talks more freely when he gets to New Zealand for whatever reason.
That's for damn sure.
I'm one of the guys that chased him to the parking lot on late Sunday night after the.
So you and I,
and I'm in a pouring rain, and he did not want to talk. I mean, the quotes he gave were very, very quick. He got in the car, and he wanted to leave. He was not looking for the spotlight in this situation.
Exactly. And that's why I was surprised by what he did. All right, you and I have talked a little bit about all this and the fact that I'm praying this does not become another Stewart Cink kind of setup where 20 years from now we talk about what happened with Tiger versus. Because you look at the players, you look at the Thompsons, you look at the Normans, you look at the greatness of Australian players, and for this young man, 32 years old, to do this, especially after what happened at the Open Championship last year, to be holding an entire country, and this is not a country that doesn't know about golf, this is not Vijay Singh in Fiji, this is a country of golfers and surfers. For him to have that on his back and to do what he did, this is the story of the year, and unfortunately, it's not yet. And hopefully it will be 10 years from now, 20 years from now. Your feelings?
Well, I hope you do. I hope this is the year that they, you know, that they got rid of the Aussie duck, duck being zero.
Right.
You know, they were 0 for 76. And so coming into this, you can't imagine the pressure that was on not just his back, but Jason Day's back and Mark Leishman. Jason Day finished very, very disappointing. And it's funny because, you know, I chased into the locker room Sunday, and he talked about, you know, the pressure of having that weight of just not trying to win your first major, but trying to win the one that means the most to your entire nation. And,
right.
I mean, it was always baffling to me that the Australians had always come up short. Jeff Ogilvy said it best once. He said Augusta National was just rural Melbourne with greener grass. And there had always been this stigma. You know, there had always been the ghost of Greg Norman, to use the word, a line that Robert Allenby gave me earlier this week, that sort of hanging over.
That's a great line.
I don't think you can discount how important this is.
Right. Mm. That's a great line. Wow. So, I mean, can you even put into words, as somebody who does this for a living, somebody who writes words? I mean, I don't. I do it for the fun of it. I talk for a living. And you know, my idol, Vince Scully, is the only one I know who could probably put this into words. Just that feeling of adulation that this young man has to feel, having done what he did and completed this journey.
For him to do it, I mean, you know, because of his relationship with Greg, and it goes back to Greg picking him for that President's Cup at Harding Park,
right.
If you remember, you know, a couple of years ago, 5 years ago, whatever the case may be now, when he was really outside the top 100 in the world, he was really, everyone sort of gave Greg a sideways glance, and, you know, what a terrible idea. This guy's never going to be able to hold his own in the President's Cup. And Greg saw something that the rest of us really didn't, and you have to give him credit now, because it forced Adam. He couldn't hide. You have to play the
right.
President's Cup. You got to have to bring your game. And I think that really started him on his road back. And the fact that he was so vocal on Sunday, pointing out how much that meant to him, going back to just not Greg, but, you know, all of the Australians that had come before him. It's hard to put into words. It was funny. In a former life as a magazine writer, I had an editor that sent me to Australia to do some Masters preview stuff. And I remember specifically sitting down with Jason Day, Adam Scott and Jeff Ogilvy talking about this, and it must have been eight
wow.
years ago. And you
wow.
can get an idea how the entire nation was up watching TV Monday morning when he was closing out. You can just imagine what it was like on Monday morning in Australia.
Just that's great stuff, Rex. That is great stuff. Interesting, an LPGA Tour event coming to the Metroplex next week, and I'm not sure anybody knows about it.
Well, they should. You know, and I've got an opportunity, actually. It's been fun to cover more of the LPGA the last couple of weeks, giving me a chance to do a few golf centrals and a few live runs and a few pre-games. Did the morning drive the other morning where we were talking about it. It's fascinating stuff, and I am guilty of not having been paying attention for a long time. But between what Stacey Lewis has done, somehow she got bounced from the world number one, though, during an off week. I don't quite get that.
Right.
What Stacey Lewis has done, sort of the idea that Michelle Wee seems to be on the rebound and then she's not on the rebound. NB Park, I mean, I Miyazato. You have to look at that tour and think to yourself that they're on the rise.
I hope so. We did a 20-minute discussion at the start of this show, and I did everything I could to not make it sexist. But you'll have to ask Tim that one. Literally, because I watched the last 2 weeks, and I watched a lot of golf, and this is not about, and maybe it is a little bit, you know, I asked Tim if women watch the PGA Tour because of good looks. And I remember not so long ago, not 15 years ago, when there were a lot of guys on the PGA Tour who were 15 to 50 pounds overweight. And somewhere along the line, the men realized that if they wanted to do this weekly and they wanted to get good at it and they wanted to make a lot of money, that they had to get their bodies into shape. And I watched the LPGA Tour and I see somebody like Salas who she's going to win and she's got such a great personality. But I watch these women who many, too many, are overweight. And it says to me, are these women athletes? And I'm trying to not put it sexist. I'm really not. I'm trying to understand why they need this extra weight to be able to be the player they are. And Tim actually gave a pretty good explanation of it. But it really does bother me because we have been able to change this into a sport in the last 15 years. And guys working out and guys getting into shape. And that's the one thing that does bother me as a man watching women's golf. And I don't know if it bothers women also or not.
Probably a little bit behind the curve. I'd be there right with you. And let's take it a step back and look at Adam Scott this week. I mentioned my sister-in-law earlier in the interview. She fell in love with Adam Scott.
Right.
And it's not because of the accident. Let's don't kid ourselves here. I mean, he's got the boyish good looks, and he clearly spends a lot of time in the gym, and all these things factor into it. It goes both ways, Grip.
Okay. And Tim did make a great point that it's easier for a man to – you have to have two things to play this game great. You have to have speed or you have to have power. And so the question becomes, do these women feel they need the weight to get the power if they don't have the speed? And I raised the question to Tim, could women do what Annika did and build muscle mass to get that power? And I think the answer is yes, but I just don't know if they've gotten there yet to understand that. I don't know how many trainers and how many weight people there are out on tour like there were last week at Augusta.
Rex, my point was that, I mean, you take what Annika did, what Suzanne Pedersen has done, and the PGA Tour followed suit because of one guy, Tiger Woods. Now, Gary Player obviously was a forefront, forefront of being fit, but, you know, it took a guy that just took the tour and ran away with it for everyone else to follow. And I think to a large degree, that's going to have to be the same thing on the LPGA Tour.
Well, if you look at it, you almost have that. We were having this conversation the other day on the Live Bum show about, I sat and watched Suzanne Pedersen hit golf balls before. And she sounds like she should be standing on a PGA Tour.
Absolutely.
Not to be sexist. I mean, the way that the sound it makes coming off the club face, the ball flight, the trajectory, everything about it, very, very good shape. I think someone like that, someone like Annika, probably sets the standard. And I think going forward, I think you'll see more of that, where the women split their time between the gym and the range, because it is important. The men have proven that.
And I hope you're right, because and again, for the 28th time, this is not, I hopefully not sexist, because I still watch every week. I mean, my favorite player on the LPGA Tour is Angela Stanford, you know, and Angela is not a thin woman, and so she is my favorite player, and she's a friend and everything else, but somewhere along the line, I just kind of wish that these women would understand that it's okay to get into the gym and be an athlete sports person. And you'll still play the game great.
Well, and sometimes it doesn't work. Christina Kim is one of my favorite people to watch play golf, simply because she does it with so much passion.
Right.
She does it with personality.
Right.
And she's one of my favorite people to be around. She tried it. She lost a lot of weight early in her career and realized that, I mean, her swing wasn't the same.
Okay,
she kind of went back the other way. I think it's all individual in this case.
And you could be right. You could be right, and that's the question I raised to Tim, and maybe we need to get somebody from TPI on about this, because you're right. I mean, I remember when David Duval, you know, David went through this, lost a lot of weight, and he felt some of that had to do with his losing his swing. Right or wrong, doesn't matter. But, you know, it is an interesting question for the growth of the game, because at some point, men are going to have to start watching golf if they want to grow the game.
Well, and there are very attractive women in the game now. I mean,
no
question.
Look
far down T-sheets to find very attractive women.
Exactly.
And again, I think you're going to see more players trending towards the Suzanne Pedersen model in the future.
And I hope you're right, Rex. I really do, because I love the game. I love it. I think it's such a great game to watch. And there is much more emotion out there on average, than there is than we see on television from the PGA Tour. So,
you're 100% right. And if you're going out to watch women hit golf balls next week, Suzanne Pedersen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question about it. And I don't know if she's playing. We'll check that next. All right, Rexy, I've kept you too long. I appreciate it. Your next stop is where?
I am actually heading up to Philadelphia tonight for a walkthrough at Marion tomorrow, and then I head to Wells Fargo next week.
So you're not going to New Orleans. No eating this week.
No eating this week, and it breaks my heart. I was married in New Orleans, so I mean, I love going back. My wife's family is from there, and I haven't been back probably in 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, Rexy, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next Sunday here on The Golfer's Home. Next up, Tim and I will talk about the North Texas LPGA Shootout. That's next here on The Golfer's Home, 1190 AM.
if you were to win $50,000, you could give it all to charity in hopes that'll guarantee you a place in heaven.
Hi, welcome to heaven.
Because, let's face it, your odds of getting into paradise at this point are pretty slim. But before you graciously give away $50,000, you have to win $50,000. So listen up and find out how. Be listening for the Q to Text keyword. When you hear it, text that keyword to 36500 to get registered. You'll win $1,000 just for qualifying for the 50K.
$50,000.
And that ain't bad.
$50,000.
It's an ultimate iHeartRadio experience. Winning $50,000 to waste on whatever you want. It's like finding a whole bunch of change under a couch cushion. A gigantic couch cushion. So get your texting thumb ready for action and keep it here for the keyword that could make you 50 grand happier. Good luck.
Never play poker with a guy named Lucky. Never hit a pinata that has hornets coming out of it. Never play rock, paper, scissors with Edward Rock Hands or Edward Paper Hands. And never trust a car that hasn't been trusted to Midas. Save on brakes, maintenance, and total car care for a car you can depend on long after the warranty expires. You deserve the Midas touch. Get a comprehensive oil change, tire rotation, and visual brake check for $19.99. Up to 5 quarts conventional oil. Shop fees extra. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
The official state flower of Texas is, of course, the bluebonnet. The official state small mammal is the armadillo. And the official state temperature is... Come on. Seriously? Yeah, okay, it can get a bit toasty out there, and your AC will be taxed severely, which is why Reliant has come up with the Keep It Cool plan. When you sign up, your price will include a 15% discount from May through August. That'll help with those AC bills. And speaking of AC, to make sure everything's working properly, we'll also throw in an AC tune-up on the house, which, I believe, is the official state preventative maintenance of Texas. To sign up, call 1-866-RELIANT or visit Reliant.com/keep it cool.
Valid only for new residential customers signing up for the Reliant Keep It Cool plan. Discount is included in the average price and appears during billing periods with meter reads beginning May, June, July, and August. Voucher for free AC tune-up from Allied Warranty to arrive in 4 to 6 weeks. For complete terms and conditions, visit Reliant.com/keep it cool. PSCG number 10007.
If you want to work until you drop, reduce your standard of living in retirement, or lose more of your hard-earned money in the stock market, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to generate a steady, predictable income, I'm talking real wealth and financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. A free report is now available that reveals the money-making secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. This report reveals how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your hard-earned money in the Wall Street casino. How you can bypass banks and credit cards and become your own source of financing. And how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. And it beats the pants off any IRA or 401k. To learn more about this method and to get your free special report, visit bankonyourself.com right now. That's bankonyourself.com. www.bankonyourself.com.
Hi, I'm Jim LeCamp.
And I'm Pat Riddell, co-host of Money Sense at the Opening Bell.
Are you fed up with the endless, relentless arguments about bull market, bear market, trading range market, deflation, hyperinflation, and all the other chatter that leaves you on the sidelines, earning nothing, nada, zip?
Well, we have good news for you. There are opportunities in a highly uncertain environment like this if you know where to look. Let us help you. We'll show you how non-traditional investments can help you uncover uncommon returns.
Give us a call, 800-841-5555.
Or log on to money-sense.com.
It's the Golfers Home, 1190 AM. If you got a spare $3,750, you can play. That's per twosome in the high school shootout LPGA Pro-Am Monday, April 22nd. Details sound like this. One playing position in the April 22nd High School Pro-Am. One commemorative tee gift. Two invitations to the pairings party Tuesday night. Weekly admissions. Play with one of 18 top female players and an LPGA professional as the high schoolers vie for one of two spots on the LPGA tournament. Wow.
That's quite a rundown.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
So how'd you find that information? Because I can't find anything about this tournament.
Go to LPGA Tour, LPGA.com, and hit tournaments.
Okay.
Okay, then if you want to play in the Pro-Am, it says you can still do that. That's Wednesday the 24th. That's $4,000. And that includes the dinner on Tuesday night. It includes the whole kit and caboodle. And if you get a foursome together, it's only $14,500.
Okay.
And that's for Tuesday. That's for Wednesday's Pro-Am. And then there are other availabilities going down. There's a clock here that says it's 3 days, 9 hours, 24 minutes, and 40 seconds, 39 seconds. The field is pretty impressive, actually.
Give me a rundown.
Hold on. I'm going to go back to that. Now I got to find the field again. Like a vault. Hold on. I got to go back and find the field.
I know Lexi Thompson's playing because her caddy got in town yesterday. One of my students yesterday was good friends with Lexi's caddy, and he was getting in yesterday, and Lexi was coming in, and she needs a jump start because she has not had a great year
so far. All right, Suzanne Pedersen is playing.
Okay.
Stacey Permodasset is playing. Morgan Pressel is playing. I know Angela's playing. Laura Diaz is playing. Laura Davies is playing. Paula Creamer is playing.
Nice.
So, I mean, they've got everybody. Nicole DeStrade is playing. Paige McKenzie is playing. Katrina Matthews is playing. Aya Mazzotto is playing. Micaiah Mazzotto is playing.
NB Park?
Let me look and see. NB Park is playing. Jane Park is playing. Sophie Gustafson is playing. Natalie Gobus is playing.
Michelle Wee?
Michelle Wee is playing.
Wow. Why have we not seen anything about this?
Unbelievable. Everyone, Mi Young Lee is playing. Stacey Lewis is playing. Brittany Lincecum is playing. I mean, this is the whole fit kit and caboodle.
Yeah. That's
Jessica
great.
Korda is playing.
That's great.
This is everybody.
Dallas Metroplex golf fans, get out and watch the ladies this week because they've got all their best players in town.
Wow. That's very amazing. All right, and you can buy tickets at any Tom Thumb, and that includes a free parking shuttle. I'm trying to get any other information I can get about parking and stuff, where they're going to park.
This is at Las Colinas Country Club.
Correct.
Right off of Highway 114.
It's owned by the Nexus Club, a nonprofit organization dedicated to presenting world-class golf while benefiting women's golf. The purse is $1.3 million this tournament. I don't know what the average LPGA tournament is nowadays.
I don't know that answer either. But that's all great news, Stephen, because it's been kept a little bit under covers. And I'm really happy to hear the field that they have. It looks like they're going to have great weather this week. And I would urge all the golf plans and the Dallas Metroplex to get out and watch these young ladies play because they can play some golf.
Yeah, you got to go out and watch this. The parking is going to be at the new Irving Convention Center.
All right, so just 5 minutes away.
And if it rains at all, they'll park in the red lot at Texas Stadium. If you're riding DART, the shuttle to the Urban Center Station in Las Colinas and catch the shuttle from there to the course.
Awesome. Awesome. Good update. Good announcement to start the week for the North Texas LPGA Shootout.
And it's at Las Colinas Country Club, as you said.
Yes.
So that takes care of everything, and I hope this gets going. That would be really cool if we can keep this thing going.
Is it televised?
I don't know the answer. It doesn't say anything about television here.
I don't know.
They just said the Golf Channel has it.
The Golf Channel has it. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I hope. I mean, it's a great field. I assume they'd put it on.
Speaking of great fields, the HP Byron Nelson Championship is rounding into form nicely with the last four defending champions. We have coming Keegan Bradley. We have Jason Duffner. We have Rory Sabatini. We have Jason Day, Louis Oosthuizen, Martin Keimer, Jordan Spieth, just to get things started, which those are all headline names.
Good names, good list. Good list. This coming week, we're in New Orleans. Greatest place in the world to go if you want to go eat at the TPC in Louisiana, 7,425 yards.
At sea level.
At sea level. Justin Rose and defending champion Jason Duffner are among the just six to sign up from the top 25. Yeah. Oh, and let's talk about Jean getting a sponsor's exemption. A lot of people are not happy with this. And I wondered your feeling about it.
What I don't know.
He was given a sponsor's exemption, and there's some people who feel that those should be given to PGA Tour players.
In New Orleans, the 14-year-old.
Yes. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I had not heard that.
Yes.
You know,
I think that's where he lives.
Every single tour event has the right to invite who they want to invite and use those sponsors exemptions to promote their individual tournament. And so, not unlike the HB Byron Nelson Championship when Jordan Spieth was 16 years old, certainly Jean is probably more of a draw than Jordan Spieth was when he was 16 before he played well at the HB Byron Nelson Championship, coming off of all the media hype that he got at Augusta last week. So I have no problem with it whatsoever.
Now, here's the interesting thing, and I do not either. And let me tell you why. Because normally I would. Normally, you know, I've gone to this thing, and I've gone ballistic when people have given John Daly sponsors exemptions, and I understand that helps a tournament. It does sell more tickets.
Moves the
needle. But I've always felt that anybody who's not willing to pay the price and go back to Q school to try and get his card shouldn't be given sponsors exemptions. I think that should have been a black and white rule through the years. And Daly never went to Q school. He just felt his ego was too good for that. Now, having said that, normally I would have an issue with a 14-year-old taking a spot from a guy who's trying to make it on this tour. But having said that, you talk about somebody whose country is on their back. And this is what I've said, Tim, and I don't know how you feel about this or not. The growth of golf worldwide is greatly dependent upon the Asian community. And we have such an opportunity here to teach golf from the get-go and not make it a rich man's sport. And that's what I love about this. From the beginning of golf in America, it was a rich man's sport. And here, you have the opportunity to build this sport to players of all levels, of all income, right from the get-go. And it took a lot of years. It took almost until Tiger Woods for people to realize, for the first tee to get started and get big. It took a long time for people to realize that golf was not just a rich man's sport. And what you have here, because we're just starting with golf in China, is the opportunity to build the sport from the ground up. And I think that puts a lot of pressure on this young man. But I think anything we can do to build the sport in China is a good thing.
Well, and the Chinese Golf Federation has done a very good job in developing their program. And they have millions of people playing golf over in China, playing in Asia, playing in Korea, playing in Japan. And the golf courses are already built. And that's the problem in a lot of the foreign countries is the courses aren't built. They don't have the golf courses. And when they do build the golf courses, no one can afford to go to the golf courses. So, China will emerge as not necessarily a leader in golf, but will be part of promoting golf, as Korea and Japan have already done so. But back to the 14-year-old, you know, he is doing nothing any different than any of the American really, really good players growing up have done before him. Ty Tryon,
right.
Jordan Spieth, and, you know, you go on and on. And if he's good enough to win the Asian Pacific Amateur, play in a Masters, make the cut in the Masters.
Right.
Let them, you know, if they want him at the event, let them play at the event.
Absolutely. And it will help ticket prices. especially if you have six of the top 25. I mean, it will. There's no question. People are going to want to go out and see this kid.
Without a doubt.
It's an interesting concept. All right, we're going to step aside for a second. When we come back, we'll talk more Augusta, and we'll give you an update on the leaderboard and who we think will win today at Harbortown. I'm Stephen Gribben. He's Tim Cusick. It is the Golfer's Home, 1190 AM.
Quite often we find ourselves thinking we should have done things sooner.
I love that we took this vacation.
I know. We should have done this a long time ago.
Sooner is just better than later. And now you don't have to wait till later to own the car of your dreams. Thanks to a surprisingly affordable certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. And with exceptional 1.99% financing on select models, now through April 30th, that dream is more attainable than ever. Each of our certified pre-owned vehicles undergoes an exhaustive process of analysis, inspection, and reconditioning until it meets the uncompromising standards of a Mercedes-Benz. Plus, every one is available with an optional extended limited warranty for up to 7 years or 135,000 total vehicle miles. And now, with 3 months of Sirius XM satellite radio. And your certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz is available only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. Visit today for exceptional financing.
Discovering your family's roots at Ancestry.com takes you on a journey back into time. And right now, through Sunday, Ancestry is offering an unprecedented discount on all Ancestry.com memberships when you enter the discount code BECK at checkout. Imagine what untold stories can be found when you access historic census and military records, browse family trees, and connect with distant relatives. So don't wait. Take advantage of this fantastic discount before it expires this Sunday. Whether you're looking to explore U.S. documents or access their extensive international records, it's all included during this special offer. Visit Ancestry.com now through Sunday and enter the promo code BECK at checkout for your exclusive discount. You can't find this offer after Sunday and is only valid with the discount code BECK. Don't wait. Visit Ancestry.com today. That's Ancestry.com. Ancestry.com. Discount code BECK.
Ah, the sound of small business, getting busier. Can you tell which one is using AT&T? Truth is, they all are. Because businesses of all kinds can find AT&T customizable plans that fit their exact needs. Whether it's broadband, mobility, or nationwide voice, at AT&T, we can help your business get humming.
I need more receipt paper, please.
Call 1-855-877-4288 today and ask about special offers available for new small business packages. AT&T, rethink possible.
Would you like to know how to become three times less likely to experience a home burglary? Mike Melton, president of Security Alarm Now, is here to tell us about that.
Statistics show that you're three times less likely to have your home broken into when monitored by a home security system. Right now, we're offering listeners a complete ADT security system free of charge when they call
1-888-516-4541.
You only pay $99 for the installation, and the monitoring is only about a dollar a day.
That's really economical, especially when you're talking about the safety of your family. Are there any other offers for our listeners?
Yes, the next 20 people who call 1-888-516-4541 will receive a free upgraded two-way voice keypad, which in the event of an emergency allows you to talk to the ADT dispatcher through your keypad. It will also include a $100 Visa gift card.
Call 1-888-516-4541. That's 1-888-516-4541.
North Texans are coming together to help the victims of the deadly explosion in West by donating blood, by helping the Red Cross, or by helping the Salvation Army. Find ways to help by visiting our website at dfw1190am.com and click on the link for ways to help.
Tune in every Saturday morning at 11 for On the Flip Side of Real Estate with Rob Barney and Tim Lansford. Real estate advice from A to Z. Find it, fund it, fix it, and flip it. To the Flip Side of Real Estate. Saturday mornings at 11, right here on 1190 AM.
Welcome back to the Golfer's Home with Stephen Gribben. 950. Great golf talk over the last couple hours about a wider range of topics in golf going on right now. Discussed the Masters, we discussed the LPGA Tour, we discussed what's going on in Harbortown this weekend. One thing we didn't talk about very quickly is last night, the LPGA Tour just finished their tournament in Oahu, Hawaii, at Ko'olina Resort, with Suzanne Pedersen winning a one-hole playoff, shooting 19 under par for 72 holes, right behind Lizette Salas, who shot 10 under 62 yesterday. At one point was 9 under for 9 holes throughout her round. And then they get to the playoff, and on the first hole, she chunks a shot over water that allows Suzanne Pedersen to make a par and win. So Suzanne Pedersen, your winner over in Oahu, as the ladies make their way back from the islands to the Dallas Metroplex. And again, I urge all the listeners, if you get a chance, if you have some free time, get out to the North Texas LPGA shootout this week at Las Colinas Country Club. They have a fantastic field, and the parking is very, very easy. A couple minutes away from Las Colinas Country Club, the weather looks great, and you will see some excellent golf. So make your way over, support that event. The LPGA Tour has not been in Dallas for 20 years, and it's great to have the LPGA Tour back, and it kicks off a month coming up of fantastic golf in the Dallas Metroplex with the LPGA Tour, with the HP Byron Nelson Championship, and then you have Colonial the following week. So lots of good golf getting ready to happen in the next 3 weeks.
All right, so Jasper Parnevik made it so a lot of guys could make the cut. Then they went from 91 down to 70 yesterday, and unfortunately Jasper did not make that cut. What is going on with Hunter Mahan? Do you have any idea, Tim? 68, 76, 78.
He is not in a good way right now. Missed the cut at Augusta. Should be a you know, he has not been the greatest around and on the greens in the past consistently, but hits it as good as anybody on tour, and he is just in a bad way right now.
Boy, is he ever. Leaderboard looks like this. Charlie Hoffman minus 11, and we discussed him in the first hour. Could not hit a golf ball yesterday, but did it with 21 putts. What's the least amount of putts you've ever had in a round of golf?
You know what? I played Vaquero one time about 10 years ago. I was thinking about this morning. And I actually played out there with one of the pros and my parents, and I had 24 putts that day, shot 74, didn't hit very many greens, but chipped everything close and made everything I looked at.
I once played with a guy who was the titleist ball rep in the area before he left to go back to his native North Carolina.
DeWitt Miles.
And DeWitt and I played, and the first nine holes, he had 9 putts.
There you go.
Hit 2 balls in, chipped in once, 9 putts in 9 holes. I'd never seen anything like that.
That changes ever. The scope of your scorecard, that's for sure.
Does it ever? All right, so Charlie Hoffman is minus 11. Again, no one is picking him today because of how bad he hit it yesterday, and we are down to twosomes today. Webb Simpson is playing with him. He's at 9 under after shooting 65 yesterday. The interesting thing is Hoffman did shoot 66 yesterday, but it all came in the first 5 holes. He was even par and bogey-free. This is the thing. The guy hits 4 fairways, 11 greens, or so, I may be backwards there, and does not make a bogey.
I remember one time when Scott Simpson won the, at the time, it was probably the GTE Byron Nelson Championship, like 1993 or 94, and the final round he won, it was just a smoking hot, humid day, and he hit 4 greens and shot 72 and won the event. Talk about scraping. Wow.
You talked about Billy Horschel. Billy shot 68 yesterday. I'm sorry. He's at minus 6. There are currently 13 players within 5 shots. Kevin Streelman is at 8. Mm-hmm. Brandon Dijon and Graham McDowell are at 7. Jerry Kelly, who played very well yesterday, shot 66, is at 6, along with Rhea Shikawa. Camilo Bejegas,
yeah.
It's so good to see Camilo back
that?
At minus 6. Now, what happened with Sabatini? And Jordan Spieth, incidentally, is at 5 under. Sabatini had gotten it to 6 under, and let me see where he finished. He finished at 3, so he ended up shooting even par yesterday. And he had it at 6 under. I want to see his scorecard yesterday. Round 3, yeah, he had gotten it. The front side, he made a double bogey on one of the par 5, so he was 1 under. Then he made another birdie, so he was at 5 or 6 under, and then he went bogey, double bogey.
Oops. Not so good there. He needs a good finish because he hasn't played very well lately as well.
He waits till he gets here and then he either wins at the Nelson or Colonial.
I think it's someone that comes out of the pack today, Stephen. I really do. Someone will shoot something, come out of the pack. I'd love to see like a Bill Haas or a Billy Horschel come from 5 back and really put some heat on the guys and see what happens.
Brian Davis, after his opening 65, shot 75 and then 70 yesterday. There are a zillion guys at 3 under. There's a lot of guys here, but you know, listen. If Charlie Hoffman putts it all well, a 2-shot lead is plenty. If you putt like he putted yesterday, now whether he will or not is a different story. Brendan Jean, interesting story there. Another guy who has not broken through yet, who's been very close a lot. He's just an interesting story, but he sits in between Webb Simpson, Kevin Streelman, and Graham McDowell, who have all broken through a bunch lately. Mm-hmm. Kevin Streelman really starting to feel like I think he believes in himself more than you can imagine.
And it's good to see Webb Simpson back up on the leaderboard. He's kind of taken a little break from that location recently, and our defending U.S. Open champion, and Graham McDowell, I believe, the year before U.S. Open champion. And the conditions will be somewhat U.S. Open-like. Small greens, lots of wind, fast greens, good final round challenge.
And with speaking of that, Tim Clark is one of the guys at -6. Mm. I would love to see Camilo Villegas come all the way back. I just would. He is so good for the game. And then you have Ryo Shikawa, another one of those guys who, unfortunately, I think, got the label of being the next great one. And has not lived up to expectation.
No, and is he even 20 yet?
Yeah, he's 20 or 21 now. Let me check that. But I'm not, because he was 18 when he came out. Mm-hmm. He's got to be 21 now. He's born in 91, so he's 22.
He was. I'll tell you a quick story about him. He was walking back to one of the cottages just adjacent to the driving range late Friday night last week at Augusta, and my son and I were the only ones at the driving range, and my son ran over and just said hi to him. That's all he did. Hey, Ryo, how are you? And Ryo said, hey. And he took like 2 steps and he turned around. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. Like he forgot to do something, reached in his pocket, and gave my son one of his customized golf balls.
That's so cool. What's it saying? Does it say Ryo?
It has Ryo on it, and it has a little logo that I couldn't tell you what the logo is.
It's Japanese?
Yes.
Okay. Yesterday, made 4 birdies on the backside, and the backside is definitely, this is 2 different golf courses. Mm-hmm. I mean, the front side, you can score. The backside is really hard.
Built through a forest almost.
Yeah, I mean, it is hard. Do you like this golf course? I do not, and I want to say that, I might as well say it publicly. I don't like this golf course. I never have. There are so many good golf courses to play at Hilton Head, and this is not one of my faves.
I've never been there. I remember watching it a lot back in the late 90s, early 2000s, when all the players went from Augusta to Hilton Head. I mean, you had Payne Stewart and Mark O'Meara and Nick Price, and all the guys would just go make the drive up there. And it always seemed to me like the tops of the trees was narrower than the fairways. I mean, it just was like such a claustrophobic type course, one of Pete Dye's early designs. And, I can't say because I've never seen it in person.
Yeah, it's, listen, the play, they have done a phenomenal job saving this golf tournament. This golf tournament was on the edge of coming off the schedule. And they saved the golf tournament. They've made it very fun for the players. RBC has stepped up in a big way, Royal Bank of Canada. It's great for the players now because it's so relaxing after Augusta. But I still wish they'd put it on a different golf course. There's so many great golf courses at Hilton Head. Tim, we will talk to you next Sunday, and we'll discuss a lot of LPGA and the food in New Orleans. I'm heading to California. So I will be back Saturday. We'll do the show Sunday. For Tim Cusick, I'm Stephen Gribben. This is The Golfer's Home, 1190 AM. Bye-bye, everybody.
KFXR Dallas, with all the top news and business stories of the day. It's all on 1190 AM.